Let's read together Proverbs chapter 25, verses 1 through 14. Here in this first half of Proverbs 25, we have more Proverbs of Solomon. These Proverbs were collected by King Hezekiah's men for this inspired book of Scripture. Let's begin our study of this first half of Proverbs 25 with some background notes. In Proverbs chapter 22, beginning with verse 17 and continuing right on to the end of chapter 24, we had a section of Proverbs known as the Sayings of the Wise. We saw in these chapters that wise authors besides Solomon had contributed to this collection. Now here in chapter 25, we return to the Proverbs of Solomon, and we see from verse 1 that these Proverbs were copied or transcribed by the men of King Hezekiah. These also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. Apparently, King Hezekiah set up an editorial committee and had this group go through a number of Solomon's Proverbs and select them to be included in this book of Proverbs. Remember, Solomon lived about 250 years before King Hezekiah's time. And according to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, Solomon spoke 3,000 Proverbs. Only about 900 of these Proverbs are in the book of Proverbs. So here in Proverbs chapters 25 through 29, we have about 130 of these Proverbs that were collected and copied by King Hezekiah's scribal committee and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit were included in this book of Scripture. And that brings us once again to our doctrinal point for these Proverbs of Solomon. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. God has not revealed everything about himself or his creation to us, but what he has revealed, we should search out and study. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Now in the context of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it would seem that the matters kings are to search out are matters which will help them make right judgments and policy decisions concerning their kingdoms. But of course, this proverb has plenty of wider application, and we will come back to it for our practical application for this talk. Verse 3, as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. This proverb is not only telling us the way it is, that is, rulers don't tell their subjects everything involving the decisions they make, but this proverb would also inform us that a lot is going on behind the scenes with high-level decisions. Rulers are dealing with big issues that we are not aware of, as high as heaven and as deep as earth. So in application, let us keep this proverb in mind before we criticize or speak out against authorities, as if we knew all there is to know about every factor in a king or ruler's decision. We certainly could extend this application to the wise decisions of the King of all kings, the Lord himself. How dare we question the sovereign ways of the Lord in this world or in our personal lives? He knows all the facts, and we don't. Verses 4 and 5. Take away the dross from silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. These verses obviously go together and are an example of emblematic parallelism in Hebrew poetry. Verse 4 is the word picture about removing dross from silver, and verse 5 is in parallel structure to the word picture and illustrates the removal of the wicked from a kingdom. Now, the meaning of this proverb is pretty obvious, isn't it? If the dross or slag is not removed from the precious silver, the silversmith cannot make beautiful jewelry. In the same way, If the wicked, especially wicked counselors, are not removed from a kingdom, and especially from the king's court, the throne cannot be established in righteousness. Now think of this proverb in reference to the return of our Lord to set up his kingdom on this earth. We read in Matthew chapter 25 that he will separate the righteous from the unrighteous in the nations as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Another illustration like separating the dross from the good silver. Verses 6 and 7. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Does this proverb remind you of anything the Lord Jesus taught in his parables? I'm reading from Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 7. So Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. From Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. Now the point that our Lord was making, as well as the point of this proverb, is that it is far wiser to humbly take a lower place and wait to be promoted, rather than promote yourself only to be humiliated by being told to go to the proverbial end of the line. Did you ever have this happen to you? Either way? It happens in all areas of life. Politics, athletics, social events, the academic world, and even the ministry. Now, this is not to say that we should hide our gifts and talents. No. But let us not practice proud self-promotion. Let us humbly wait on the Lord for him to promote us in his sovereign ways and times. Remember 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Let's read Proverbs chapter 25, beginning now with verse 8. Do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. Now we know from the New Testament that believers are not to take one another to secular courts to solve their differences and settle their cases against one another. Read the first section of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in this connection. But now, what about dealing with unbelievers? This proverb would certainly tell us that even when you think unbelievers have wronged you, it is wise to restrain yourself from rushing to court. Very wise counsel. If you're going to proceed, you had better make sure you have all your ducks in a row. But better yet, settle out of court. You know, this is essentially what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 25 and 26. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. From Matthew chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. What better setting for golden apples than a silver bowl? And what better setting than the right word spoken at the right place at the right time? That's the idea here. How often is a well-thought-out selection of scripture, for example, on the occasion of a tragic circumstance, or a joyous event. Just the right word spoken. Verse 12. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. The timely word of verse 11 may be a rebuke depending on the occasion. If the rebuke falls on a listening ear that responds, it is a beautiful thing to behold. Verse 12, like the glistening of a gold earring or gold ornament. Verse 13, like the cold of snow in time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Can you think of anything more refreshing than at harvest time, when you may be sweating from hard work, to receive a welcome drink of cold, sparkling, clear water from a bubbling fountain or from a gurgling creek of melting mountain snow? How refreshing and satisfying to the body. I'm sure many of us have had this experience. Well, in the same way, how refreshing to the soul and spirit is knowing that a critical message has been delivered by a faithful messenger. Now remember, this proverb was written well before the days of cell phones and emails. And important messengers might mean the difference between life and death in cases of war or sickness. Verse 14, whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. When you see clouds moving your way and the wind picks up, you naturally think a rainstorm is on its way. You feel especially disappointed if there's no rain when you need rain. Well, the same is true of a man who comes along and boasts of his gifts, either his financial gifts or his spiritual gifts. If he doesn't deliver, he is nothing but hot air. Big wind, but no rain. Big talk, but no substance. How disappointing, but how often true. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us to our practical application for this first half of Proverbs 25. Dig it out. Dig it out. Let's go back to verse 2 for our practical application. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. God in his sovereign ways has chosen to conceal many things, both in the material world that he has created and in the written word that he has given us. Our response to this aspect of the glory of God should not only be awe and worship, but should also be the study and searching out of these matters. God is pleased when through good science we come to understand and appreciate this material universe that he has created. Like kings in God's royal family, we can use this knowledge to help mankind and thus serve our Creator. And God is pleased when we dig into his word as well, to find the hidden treasures in the depths of Scripture. Coming to the proper interpretation of prophecies and parables, for example, is not always easy. But God wants us to study and search the Scriptures and dig in and find the gems of truth that he has hidden in his word. So let's get moving and be motivated to dig it out.